War and Peace by Leo Tolstoy. Well, Prince. So Genoa and Lucca are now just family estates of the Bonapartes. But I warn you, if you don't tell me that this means war, I will have nothing more to do with you, and you are no longer my friend, no longer my faithful slave, as you call yourself. Oh, there. How do you do? I see I'm scaring you. Sit down and talk to me. These words were uttered in July 1805 by Anna Pavlovna Scherer, a distinguished lady of the court, and maid of honour to the Empress Maria Fedorovna. It was her greeting to Prince Vasily Kuragin, a man of high rank and importance, who was the first to arrive at her reception. Anna Pavlovna had been coughing for the last few days. She was, as she said, suffering from la grippe, grippe being then a new word in Petersburg, only used by the elite. All her invitations, without exception written in French, and delivered that morning by a footman in red livery, ran as follows. If you have nothing better to do, Count, or Prince, and if the prospect of spending an evening with a poor invalid is not too alarming to you, I shall be charmed to see you at my house between 7 and 10, Annette Scherer. Heavens, what a violent outburst, the Prince responded, not in the least disconcerted at such a reception. He was wearing an embroidered court uniform, knee breeches and shoes, and had stars on his breast, and a serene expression on his flat face. He spoke in that refined French in which our grandfathers not only spoke but thought, and with the gentle, patronizing intonation natural to a man of importance who had grown old in society and at court. He went up to Anna Pavlovna, kissed her hand, presented to her his bald, scented and shining head, and complacently seated himself on the sofa. "First of all, dear friend, tell me how you are. Relieve a friend's anxiety," he said, with no change in his voice and tone, in which indifference and even irony was perceptible through the veil of courtesy and sympathy. "Can one be well while suffering morally? Can one be calm in times like these if one has any feeling?" said Anna Pavlovna. "You are staying the whole evening, I hope." "And the fate of the English ambassadors? Today is Wednesday. I must put in an appearance there," said the Prince. "My daughter is coming for me to take me there." "Now, about your family. Do you know that since your daughter came out, everyone has been enraptured by her? They say she is amazingly beautiful." The Prince bowed to signify his respect and gratitude. "I often think how unfairly sometimes the joys of life are distributed. Why has fate given you two such splendid children? I don't speak of Anatole, your youngest. I don't like him. I am dissatisfied with him." "Between ourselves," and her face assumed its melancholy expression, "he was mentioned at Her Majesty's, and you were pitied. Have you never thought of marrying off your prodigal son, Anatole?" she asked. "They say old maids have a mania for matchmaking, and though I don't feel that weakness in myself as yet, I know a little person who is very unhappy with her father. She is a relation of yours, Princess Maria Bolkonskaya." "Do you know," he said at last, evidently unable to check the sad current of his thoughts, "is this princess of yours rich?"
"Her father is very rich and stingy. He lives in the country. He's the well-known Prince Bolkonski who had to retire from the army under the late emperor and was nicknamed the King of Prussia. He's very clever, but eccentric and a bore. The poor girl is very unhappy.